Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. This is a weekly sports podcast. We call it the best couple of hours of your sports week. Thank you for tuning in as you do each and every week. I am the host, 12 Kyle. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of sports. We're going to hit hot and heavy, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball. We got a lot of stuff to cover. And, of course, I will not be doing this podcast alone. Joining me is the homie, my man, Beezy, 430. Beezy, what up, though?
What up, though? What up, Kyle? Chilling.
What's good?
Nothing, man. Just getting ready for this, good old holiday, man. Some feasting, eating good.
Okay.
And all that other great stuff, man. So, yeah, that's about it.
Are you going to be here in Atlanta or are you going to the D?
Yeah, no, I'm going to the D, but not Detroit.
Okay. What is the D that's not Detroit? Wait a minute.
Dallas.
Oh, okay. It's like, I'm going to the D without Detroit. I was like, there's only one D.
Yeah, I know. And see, people from Dallas try to claim that. I'm like, okay.
Nope.
So, yeah.
Okay. You're gonna have your blacks with you, your black and Miles?
I'm gonna have that Miles and that yak, boy. That Miles and that yak.
No doubt. Also joining me is the homie Ken. Ken, what up, man?
Chilling.
What's up? What's the plan for Thanksgiving?
The usual, man. Head over to the in-laws and then up to Macon.
Okay.
And then drink a Red Bull so I can make it back home. So I can avoid that itis.
No,
Yeah, it'll be a little bit different this year because my brother moved up here, so
okay.
he'll be coming through for Thanksgiving. So it'll be kind of weird having him up here for Thanksgiving for like the first time ever. So that'll be interesting. So he got shot at Monday.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Somebody tried to rob him, man.
Damn. He okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's straight. He was a little shaken up, but he good though.
Jeez. It was just like some random or something, just some knucklehead.
Yeah, man. Just because he delivers. He's a truck driver.
Okay.
So he was doing deliveries early in the morning, and somebody came through. I think they were trying to go to an ATM, and then they circled back, and one guy was in the truck getting stuff out of the truck, and then another guy walked up to him asking where the strip club was at. And my brother, he was in the military, so you're not going to really catch him slipping like that. So even before all of that took place, there was enough things to kind of tell him about his surroundings. Like, yeah, that ain't right. So he was already on high alert. Mm-hmm. So when the guy walked up and asking him some crazy ass question like that, he was already just setting up so he can protect himself, and then he managed to do so and got the door closed and dude fired off a shot at him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn, man.
Mm-hmm. Glad he's all right, man. Damn, that's crazy. Hey, man, for those of you listening out there, man, protect your neck.
It's that time of year, man.
Yeah, man. It's that time of year. People get crazy and they get bold and brazen. So definitely good to hear that. Thanksgiving gonna be low key for me, man. I'll be right here at the crib, right here in Atlanta. In-laws coming over and we're just going to eat and I'm going to sit and watch football and doze off and eat a bunch of turkey. That's about it. Trying to be back in the gym, Friday morning, trying to get Thanksgiving off me. The homie FIFO will be joining us momentarily. As I mentioned at the top, man, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. So let's start right there. With this past week with the, college football, Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL. What stood out to you, B? I'll start with you. What stood out to you this past weekend in the sports arena?
It seems like Cavs are starting to get their mojo going a little bit, which, we've all expected it. We've seen the same story before. Even when he was in Miami with Chris Bosh in a prime Dwayne Wade then. And, when they had slow and sluggish starts and sluggish runs, The whole NBA world media would just panic in a frenzy thinking that these guys are not going to be okay. So, I think Cleveland, they proved last night against my Pistons. They took my Pistons back to reality.
Yes.
Because, Pistons is still leading the Central Division right now. But
playing good, too. They're playing some good ball.
Yeah, Cavs was like, we're going to shut that down and tell y'all why we the Kings of the Central Division and the Kings of the East, you know, or going to be the Kings of the East. But, yeah, it's just amazing. I think Cavs are starting to get it. They're starting to figure it out. I think Tyrone is still kind of playing around with lineups and stuff due to, you know, injuries with Derrick Rose and Tristan Thompson and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think that's what stood out to me is, like, I think the Cavs are starting to get their mojo back. I think we're really starting to get hot and heavy into this college football. So we heading to, you know, the last 2 or 3 weeks of college football season before we're going to find out these playoffs, man, get to these bowl championship games and then these playoffs. I love it, man. This is what have you done for me lately, college folks, you know, look at. Because this is the worst time to catch an L in college football. It's good to catch an L in early September. But you start catching L or two in November, that'll hurt you worse than if you caught an L in September. So, you know, this is the time where you really have to buckle down and get them dubs, man. Because college football, you know, you want to be that last four standing for that playoff spot, man. So it's gonna be really interesting. And in the NFL, I mean, I'll just pose this question to the listeners, like. Is Philadelphia, because I haven't watched them yet, is Philadelphia and Saints really as good as advertised, or are they just or what? Because I mean, I haven't watched much of them, so I don't know. Going by the record, I'm like, wow, are these teams right now? They look like the head of the pack of NFC, and it's like, are those teams really as good as advertised? And it's funny thinking about this that, you know, Saints was 0-2 with Adrian Peterson, shipped them out, and they didn't won 8 straight. You know, like that's insane, and he's in Arizona. You know, happy, you know, getting the carries that he want and getting the looks that he want to get. So, yeah, man, that's the stuff that stood out, man. Like seeing the Saints and the Philadelphia and, you know, all that with college football and, you know, NBA. Hey, this is like the great time. This is the sweet spot right now in sports fall season where you just got like everything going all at once. So, yeah, that's what stood out for me.
Ken, this past week, man, what stood out to you in the world of sports?
I wish I was watching NFL this year, because I'm seeing highlights, I'm looking at box scores, and they don't always tell you the game, right? They don't tell you everything. They just provide a picture. But there are a lot of teams, just based on the commentary, based on the Monday morning quarterbacking and all the debate shows, there are some teams that a lot of people are high on that I just don't think are really all that good. First team, the Los Angeles Rams. I don't think they're that good, but everybody love them. Jared Goff this, Jared Goff that. Now, I did ask FIFO. FIFO did like some things that the guy's doing, so I'll trust the brother, but I'm still not buying it. Seems like a bunch of hype to me. Let's go to the AFC. Who's overhyped, it seems like, over here for me? Well, we already knew the Kansas City Chiefs were fraud. everybody jumped on their bandwagon, and they have lost 4 of their last 5, so they're coming back down to earth. The Jacksonville Jaguars, low-key, 7-3, 4 in a row, winning with defense, Bortles being a game manager, but it's amazing what one player can do for a team, and that player is Leonard Fournette. Without him, there's no way they're 7-3, and I'm thinking that he allows them to kind of control the game and control pace and stretch the game out and allow that defense to rest so they can do what they do best. We all talked about the offseason signings that they had, and especially in the secondary, and they're paying off. Nobody talks about them. They're 7-3. Again, nobody's talking about Leonard Fournette. I don't understand it. And I know they're the Jaguars, but if you guys are going to hype up the Los Angeles Rams, you guys need to also talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. I do not understand why people are talking about the Los Angeles Rams like they got next. I get Carson Wentz. He's 9-1, you know. And he's doing it. I kind of get Carson Wentz. He's 9-1. That's a little bit more understandable. And even with Philly, but the Rams, come on, man. But I think the team that I think deserves a lot of props, man, that people halfway talk about, but they, they sort of don't. And that's the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. And whoever's coaching that team deserves a lot of credit because he's winning games, six in a row with, we know defense, but Case Keenum. Case Keenum.
Case freaking Keenum.
Right. With no real running game. Remember, they lost Dalvin Cook, Adrian Peterson replacement, who looked like he was going to do a fantastic job making people forget about that. They're piecemealing their running game with Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon. They are 8-2 with Case Keenum. B, I hate to say it. I know y'all have won three in a row, but y'all have Matthew Stafford and 6-4. I need to see more out of the Detroit Lions. They should be running away with that division. All right, so that's that. So let's move on. But again, look, I disclaimer, you know, you can discredit everything that I said because I'm not watching the games, but I can put together some stuff, you know, from what I'm seeing and hearing and reading. Anyway, moving on. The NBA, I know we're going to talk about it later, but I will say the Boston Celtics, not the Celtics, but Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is going to be a star, and I'm going to leave it at that. Oklahoma City, 7-9. Come on, man. Billy Donovan on watch. Billy Donovan is on watch. You can't be 7-9 with the three elite players you have on that team. That's just unacceptable. So you got to get it together, my brother. Or we're going to have to get you up out the paint. And I hope Jameis isn't guilty of the things that he's accused of. And I really need him to get himself together and represent us in the right way. So, that's all I got.
No doubt. I think for me, a couple of things. First of all, starting with college football, Baker Mayfield.
That's the whole.
I don't like that dude, man. It's something about him. And I've said on this podcast before, I've never been sold on Oklahoma quarterbacks. Oklahoma quarterbacks not named Jamel Holloway. Baker Mayfield, you guys are familiar what he did. If you're not familiar, this past weekend against Kansas, he got into, you know, trash talking with some Kansas players. He grabbed his nuts and said F you to, you know, the opposing team or whatever like that. And all of this obviously was caught on camera. And so, you know, for his final home game in Norman at home, he is not going to be the captain and he is not going to start. I think the game is against West Virginia. Who are we fooling? I mean, they're benching him, but, you know, they said that he's not going to start. What does that mean? Does that mean he's going to sit out a series? Is he going to sit out a half? Oklahoma's not crazy. They're still in the mix and still in the play for, a right to, you know, make it to the Final Four. So, you know, they're not going to bench him like that. So, but Baker Mayfield, and, you know, I saw him on TV today and he's crying and, you know, talking about how emotional it's going to be. I'm like, man, come on, man. You know who you are. This is the same kid that got a DUI this past summer. And I'm usually not one into, you know, dumping on college kids because I was once a college kid that did, you know, crazy stuff. The great part about it for me was that there was no such thing as the internet when I was in college. So a lot of stuff that I could have done and should have done, you know, didn't get captured by a cell phone. That being said, grow up, man. It's time to grow up. You can't be Manziel. And that's who he reminds me of. The thing is, Manziel was a lot better. And Baker Mayfield's probably going to win the Heisman, but he has to grow up, and I mean grow up quickly. As far as the NBA, man, a lot of great games this past weekend. I mean, this past week, definitely have my eye on the Cavs as far as, you know, trying to see how they gel. As I mentioned last week on the podcast, I'm still very much concerned with the minutes that LeBron is playing. But I think one of the things that is very compelling, and we touched on it last week, was that, you know, there are some good games on just about every night. So Tomorrow night at the time of this recording was Tuesday. Tomorrow, OKC goes up against OKC is going up against Golden State. So it's going to be Russell Westbrook against Kevin Durant. Now, Kevin Durant tweaked his ankle. He's listed as questionable for the game. But I'm going to be tuning in nonetheless because, like Ken said, OKC's record is not good at 7-9. You know, it's going to take them some time to gel. I don't think anybody saw them starting off 7-9. But again, it's November. No time to push the panic button just yet. Major League Baseball, man, shout out to my homie. I call him my homie, but I don't know him. But Aaron Judge, I'm a Yankees fan. Rookie of the Year. Got to give him major props for that. This is the first of many awards that Aaron Judge is going to win. My Yankees will be back next year, so I'm looking forward to the offseason already. You know, props to Giancarlo Stanton, MVP as well. He's actually on the trade market, if you will believe. But he's got that huge contract sitting out there. So I'm interested to see this offseason who's going to take the bait. As far as the NFL goes, I agree with Ken. This whole Jameis Winston story is just really, really crazy. I hope that he is not guilty as being charged, or at least what was alleged that he did. Also, big shout out to, before I forget, the University of South Carolina women's basketball team, the Lady Gamecocks. They declined the offer to go visit your boy in the White House. So props to them for that. Happy trails, Jim Mora. UCLA got Jim Mora up out the paint. And last but not least, man, big shout out to Larry Fitzgerald. He signed a 1-year extension with the Arizona Cardinals. So he will be coming back for presumably what will be his last year. And last but not least, in college football, before I forget, got a report maybe about an hour or so before we came on the air to record this podcast that word on the street is that your man, Kevin Sumlin, Ken, Texas A&M, about to get him up out the paint. You know, we're pro brother around here, but
it's about time.
Yeah, Sumlin's days at Texas A&M are coming to an end. Hopefully that brother can land on his feet somewhere. I know he's got a pocket full of money, they've kind of, other than the Manziel years, he's been okay, I guess. Expectations really, really high, and they have not reached them. So that's the word on the street. So we'll keep an eye out for that. That's what caught my eye this past week in sports. Now let's move on to the NFL. I want to say this was either Sunday or Monday of last week. A great, great article appeared on the New York Times. Article was written by someone who is, give me 1 second, I can pull up his name, Chuck Martiano from the Daily News. And this was written last Tuesday, November 14th. Great article on the differences between white and black quarterbacks in the NFL. The article was entitled Great White Hope QB Awards, Tyrod Taylor and the White and How White Privilege in the NFL Works. And the article, and we'll put the article link in the show description, so if you have not read it, you can read it. But this article goes on to talk about how we got the news last week that Tyrod Taylor was benched. And if you did not catch it, Tyrod Taylor was benched for a rookie by the name of Nathan Peterman. Peterman subsequently went out this past Sunday against the the LA Chargers, and Peterman throws not one, not two, not three, not four, but five freaking interceptions in the first half. I've never seen such in my life. So he only had six completions, but he had five interceptions in the first half. Now, subsequently, the Bills decided to bench him for the second half and bring Tyrod Taylor, who they benched for the start of the game, back into the fold. So this article just basically talked about how, you know, white privilege works and how, you know, you got quarterbacks, and it breaks down their records, like Josh McCown, Ryan Fitzpatrick, for example. Josh McCown has a 22-47 record. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 46 69-1 record. And it talks about how, you know, some of these quarterbacks like these guys and Blake Bortles and Sam Bradford, Alex Smith, these guys have really put up backup type numbers. Like, I'll give you an example. Alex Smith, records 19-31. Vince Young, former number one pick, 31-19. Alex Smith still in the league. Vince Young, not in the league. But it just talks about white privilege. And I'll tell you what, before we even get into the discussion, let me play this clip. This is from the show on Fox with Nick Wright and Chris Carter. So I'll play this clip. It's about a minute and a half, and we'll be back on the other side. Hang on one second to check this out.
They don't really have an excuse for benching him.
No, and this is, and people get uncomfortable with this, and I am not alleging racism of anyone, but there is to me a clear, still to this day, implicit bias against black quarterbacks.
It's a tougher grading scale.
The level of play you must exhibit in order to be drafted high or to have full job security is just totally different than with their white counterparts. Like, there is no precedent of a black Mike Glennon being good for a couple games getting a $14 million contract. There is a ton of precedent of white Mike Glennons getting to be Mike Glennon and having teams give them a chance. There's a ton of precedent of black quarterbacks in college being extraordinary. Yes. And falling in the draft like Russell Wilson did, like Tyrod Taylor did, like Dak Prescott did. You might say, oh, well, Cam went number one overall. In order for a black quarterback to be number one overall, all you got to do, evidently, is go undefeated, win the Heisman, and still be questioned whether or not Blaine Gabbert is the
better
option.
I think he was down 21 to Alabama and brought him back from that. And if people still weren't convinced that he should have been the first pick in the draft.
And so I want to make this very clear, because you can talk about people having implicit biases and not alleging an ounce of racial, like, prejudice, sure, or hate or anything. Right. I just think people are more comfortable, especially NFL coaches, with believing they can turn the 6'4" white guy into their prototypical quarterback than the 6'1" black guy. And some of that's height, but some of that's race.
Okay, so there it is, man. So when you're talking about white quarterbacks versus black quarterbacks, as Nick Wright mentioned in the clip, you know, there's disparaging differences as to what NFL teams are looking for. So, B, I'll start first with you, man. What did you think about this article, and what do you think about the disparity between, you know, what the opportunities that, you know, some white quarterbacks are being given and wherein black quarterbacks aren't getting those same opportunities?
Seeing that was just like, you know, I felt like I was in church. Like, I was just catching the Holy Ghost, because it was just so much truth to that, you know. I was just like, woo! Like, I was just reading it like, ooh! Like, yes, Jesus! Like, I was catching it, man, because, I mean, facts after facts after facts after facts, and you cannot dispute that, you know, that's the case. And not only for players, Kyle and Ken, but for also coaches. I think coaches is the same way. Like, you have to be ahead of the curve twice as much as your Caucasian counterparts when it comes to quarterback. Especially quarterback in coaching, in a head coach position. Because we've seen it, man, where head coaches get the raw end of the deal of the stick. And then you got these so-called, other coaches that's always getting a chance, always staying, still getting a job, still getting a check. If they get fired, they're going to get hired right back on as another head coach. If a black coach get fired, they're going to get hired back on as an offensive coordinator or a lineman coach or something. You know, so with the quarterback situation, yeah, you got to come out gunning. I think people forget Vince Young rookie season. He came in, took the Titans to the playoffs. This is mm-hmm. rookie year. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, not a lot of people do that. I don't even think Cam Newton did that. As great as a statistic he had his rookie season. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, Kyle, but I don't think he took his team to the playoffs. But yet, you know, people are so quick to throw it up on Vince Young. And so many other black quarterbacks in the league that, you know, if you're not winning right away or you're not coming in changing that franchise right away, you know, it's a wrap. Dak Prescott is like a rarity that we saw recently where he came and took over the quote unquote, where they said in this article that you sent us, the old white hope and Tony Romo. And, you know, I was actually surprised to see them give the keys to Dak Prescott. Is, you know, even though he had a good season, in the back of my mind, I was like, man, they're going to say, hey, good job, boy. All right, Tony Romo, you back up. If you want this job back, it's yours to have. I swear, in the back of my mind, I was thinking that was going to happen. But I was really, really surprised that Dak got the keys. Now, how long is he going to have those keys? I think if he was to have a similar type of career within these next 5 or 6 seasons, or the same role that Tony Romo is going, I don't think he's going to be the starter as long as Tony Romo. Like, he has to be, like, NFC Championship game, like Super Bowl. Like, he has to be, take that step forward, I think, in order for that team to kind of keep him as the QB for the next decade. Because if he has the same type of path as Tony Romo, he will get, he'll lose his starting position, you know, way before Tony Romo did. You know what I'm saying? And Tony Romo only lost it just because of injury, and Dak Prescott came out and bought out. Now, if Tony Romo would have never got injured and that back would have been healthy, we probably wouldn't even be talking about Dak Prescott right now. You know what I'm saying? Or even last year. So, yeah, man, I just think that article was just, it was preaching to the choir. I loved it. It was just facts on top of facts. And I was just daring anyone, especially on Twitter, to, you know, to, like, come with a comeback with that article. Because you couldn't say anything. Once you read that, you could not say anything because you had the numbers to back up the points that were being made in that article. I mean, bullet point after bullet point. Bam, bam, bam. Just smack you, jab you, Muhammad Ali, you all up in the face. So, yeah, I love the article, man. I loved it. I agree with everything from the beginning of the article to the end. And even with Nick Wright segment on, what was it called? What's the name of the show?
First things first.
First things first. I was like, wow, Nick Wright, he gets it. Like, that guy gets it. He knows it. I mean, people can't stand Nick Wright because of he's such a big LeBron James stan, but on that point with that, oh, he got that right 100%. So, yes, I love it. 2 thumbs up for me.
No doubt. No doubt. What about you, Kent? What was your take on the article and overall where we stand as far as black quarterbacks and white quarterbacks and the, you know, discrepancies that they basically have to go through?
I echo a lot of what B's saying. There were people, though, that were out there trying to discredit their article and put it down in their own way. I was listening to Stephen A. Smith's show, and there's a guy named Sal that calls in, and he rubs me the wrong way, but the reason why I like listening to guys like Sal, why I like listening to guys like Will Cain, is because they give you a peek inside of what the other side, you know, are thinking. And I always think that's important because you often have to, you do have to be prepared to offer counterpoints to some of the things that they're saying.
I agree.
Yeah. So the first thing the guy said was he called the article racist. And I don't know why. I don't know what. But
isn't it written by a white person? Written by a Caucasian male, right?
Yeah.
Hey, man. Look, you know how it go, B.
Yeah, I know.
Nigga level. All right.
Yeah. So, Chuck Mariano. And he's a seasoned writer at the Daily News. He's not just somebody that just showed up.
Yeah. And so right then and there, I'm like, okay, so that's the talking point. The article wasn't racist. It was just pointing out, like Nick Wright said, the discrepancy in the NFL between, you know, the white quarterbacks, journeymen, and black quarterbacks. The Vince Young stat to me was like mind blowing because I didn't know his record was that good, to be honest.
Me either. Because
if I listen to everything everybody say, he couldn't play. From what I remember, they did.
He couldn't read defenses either.
Man, he couldn't do anything. Jeff Fisher got him up out of there. And compared to Alex Smith, who's still playing, that's amazing. I think Donovan McNabb, same thing happened to him. It happens. Like, I think there's this viewpoint that once you're not athletic enough or once the league, quote-unquote, catches up to you, you're no good anymore. The other thing is the article wasn't about Colin Kaepernick. I think, you know, the guy tried to say it, stress that. But I will give.
Nah, you know, to be honest, Ken, I don't think, and I'll check it, but I don't think Cap even gets mentioned in this article at all.
Nah, it was about Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. And I will give the guy credit. He did say that Tyrod Taylor deserves to be starting, and that what's happened, everybody knows what happened to him is unfair, but it still didn't mean that there wasn't some level of truth to what was written there. And there's a reason why on this show, you know, we're pro brother, because someone has to be. And we got to put out as much positive vibes as possible, because they're facing an uphill battle. And, you know, that's why I'm, you know, I came on the show a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week, and I said, Jacoby Brissett has been doing his thing, man. And I wanted to give that brother his props, because he's playing in Indy and they're not winning. But he's playing well. He's playing well enough to be one of those middling quarterbacks that'll just get you through a season, because that's what these guys are. That's all they're there for, is to kind of just get you through a season until you find the guy. And, you know, when we look at, like, this whole season has been about Colin Kaepernick, and we've seen guys being signed that wasn't anywhere near as good as him. Some of them were black. Josh Johnson was signed. They just cut him.
He got cut that fast?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he just literally got signed like a week ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
So, but I won't get into the Colin thing. But the point was, this whole season was really about how he's been overlooked for a job. And then here's a guy that's 5-4 that's playing not the best, but he's not really costing you games. Like, it's not his fault they're losing games. You know, he's, you know, keeping them in games. How about that defense that gave up almost 50 points? Why isn't that a problem? Are you going to bench them? You know what I'm saying? Here's a guy, a black quarterback, that was replaced for a rookie. Everybody in sports questioned that move and didn't understand it. Black folks, like, it didn't surprise us. Mm-hmm. You know, we were like, we were kind of shocked it took them that long to make that move. But I think white America was like, what's going on here? And I applaud the writer for writing that, because it's something that we've said, and he basically said the same thing, except he gave them what they like. And that's facts. He gave them numbers. He gave them data to stand by his position. And it made it hard to argue against it. And I'll give a lot of the other people, a lot of people that did come on air and talk about the article. I mean, even they couldn't discredit it. But what they would try to do is walk away from that article and just go specifically to the Bills situation and say, oh, but this is about Tyrod Taylor. What's happened to Tyrod Taylor is wrong. And it shouldn't have happened. And blah, 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 blah. And what the Bills did was they embarrassed themselves. And to be quite frank, I think they embarrassed white America for putting that guy out there and putting him in there in first half. Because he needed to go out there and ball out. And he went out there and threw five picks and only completed six passes. That's not good. And that makes that guy look like a fool. But you know what? Here's what white America does. You know what? I don't think he did. There were some good things he did. Yes! That's what he said. There were some good things he did. Like, what? That's what white America
does.
He
got the snaps.
Yeah. And you know what? He might get another shot, too. And it wouldn't surprise me.
I'm not surprised at all.
Pride is on the line. And you know what? They're going to feel like, you know what? He'll do better next time. He'll do better next time. And Tyrod Taylor won't get another shot, man. So if I was Tyrod Taylor, man, I know it's hard to. I'm glad you got paid. I hope you invested wisely. But I would not go back out there. I wouldn't. I boycott.
Man, I agree 1,000% with what you said, Ken. I think the thing that, first, let's start with Peterman. Like you said, five interceptions. I mean, I can't tell you the last time I've seen somebody throw five interceptions in a game, and he clearly was not, and I didn't see the game, but I saw the highlights. He clearly was not ready for the moment. Again, this is a fifth. there's a reason why this kid was a fifth round draft pick. And he's a rookie. So, you know, everything, and he has not played since the preseason. So I'm pretty sure everything is moving 100 miles an hour. And keep in mind, even though he played halfway decent during the preseason, most of the guys that he probably played against during the preseason are on the street. He's not playing against, you know, second or third teamers right now. He's playing against the number ones. And, you know, the San Diego, not San Diego, I'm sorry, the LA Chargers have a pretty damn good defense. That being said, he went out there and stuck up the joint, and the Bills head coach, you know, just like, you know, well, he did some things and he still sounds like he's wavering on the fact of whether or not he's going to trot this kid back out there. I get it. You know, new coach, new regime, new GM, they want to go in a different direction. You know, they're not sold on Tyrod. And be clear, ladies and gentlemen who are listening, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Tyrod Taylor is Tom Brady, because he's not. But keep in mind the fact that Tyrod Taylor had two bad games, and he had 9 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. So this guy doubled Tyrod's interceptions in one game, and Tyrod did that over, what, 7 games. And so, you know, the thing that really is mind-boggling to us is the fact that Tyrod Taylor gets benched, and the Bills are still in the playoff hunt. It's not like the Bills are 1-9. You know what I mean? So that's, you know, that just left me scratching my head. You know, right now, I think if the playoffs started, the Bills still would get in as a 6th seed. And at the time that they benched him, I think they were a 4th seed. So, you know, it's not like this team is just, you know, had reason to throw in the towel, if you will. But you lose a locker room like that. As for this article, man, I think the article, like B said, was dead on point. And I encourage everybody who listens to this podcast, when you finish listening to the podcast, go read the article if you haven't done so. It is very mind-boggling, and it kind of reaffirms what the three of us already knew. You know, black quarterbacks don't have the same leeway, and history will tell you and show you that. I am old enough to remember when black quarterbacks were called black quarterbacks. You know, and I remember in 1987 when Doug Williams for the Washington Redskins was about to play in the Super Bowl. And one of the reporters asked him the week of the Super Bowl, well, how does it feel? He said, how long have you been a black quarterback? And how does it feel to be a black quarterback? And, you know, it was, you know, a lot was made of the fact that Doug Williams was the first black quarterback to play in the Super Bowl. But for someone white to ask you, how long have you been a black quarterback? I mean, like, he had to look at him like, you got to be kidding me. But, you know, again, this article just reaffirms what we have already always known. No, there's no such thing as, and Ken mentioned a key word that I haven't really thought about, journeyman. When's the last time you've seen a journeyman black quarterback? What, Rodney Peete? He might be the last one. Or maybe David Garrard. David Garrard is probably the last journeyman black quarterback. But, you know, guys like even some of the ones who were successful, like the Donovan McNabbs or the Michael Vicks, they don't get a chance to bounce from team to team. We saw Brock Osweiler get thrown a ton of money from the Houston Texans. Houston cuts him. He goes to Cleveland, stinks up the joint, gets cut from Cleveland. Now he goes back to Denver where it all started for him, and he can't even hold the position there. So, you know, and here again, I find it interesting that Denver is and as of the time of this recording, they're going to trot out Paxton Lynch, a guy who they drafted, and this will be their third quarterback that they've started this year. But little known fact is that John Elway, the GM, wanted to make a play for Colin Kaepernick last year, but the 49ers wouldn't budge. So, you know, but you think John Elway is going to call Colin Kaepernick this year? Oh, no. Too hot to touch. But you could make a case that the Broncos are solid quarterback away from being a contender for the title, or at least at the very least challenging the Patriots and the Steelers. But this isn't even about Kaepernick. Again, it goes back to what we said. You know, look, read the article and it'll tell you, you know, it's just there's a huge disparity, between blacks and white quarterbacks. You know, the Josh McCowns, the Ryan Fitzpatrick is starting this weekend against the Falcons because of the injury to Jameis Winston. Josh McCown, still starting. Again, these guys, these aren't NFL quarterbacks. They are backups at best. But, you know, some guys get a shot, other guys don't. But again, take a look at the article, judge for yourself. If you got anything to say, hit us up on Twitter. You know where to find us. Moving on. Let's take it to the NBA. At the time of this recording, the Boston Celtics are red hot. Ken mentioned it earlier. 16 straight for the Celtics, man. I think they're closing in on a team record. So it's been a long time since the Celtics have been winning like this. And obviously the catalyst for this is your man Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving last night dropped 47 points. I think he shot close to like 70% from the field, which is unreal. And all while doing this with a broken bone in his face. So he's wearing that mask, the Kobe mask, if you will. So they're on a roll. Ken, I'll start with you, man. Why do you think this team has been so successful and gotten off to such a fast start?
Brad Stevens.
Okay.
Yeah. Brad Stevens and Jaylen Brown growing up right before our eyes with more, PT. Kyrie, I mean, he just fit right in, man. And last night they needed him. They probably don't win that game without him. And he shows what they can be down the line. He can be a weapon for them, a closer for them. But Brad Stevens, man, I was wait and see with Brad Stevens. A lot of people jumped on Brad Stevens' bandwagon, and they heralded him as the Nets' best thing, and he hasn't even won a damn thing. They were putting him up there with the Pops and the Fields and guys like that and Rick Carlisle's, and I'm like, he hasn't won anything. He loses to LeBron every year. As a matter of fact, when they were doing it, he couldn't even get past the first round. but now, you know what, at overtime and as this roster is filling out, you know, this is what he does. This is what they are going to do. They will win games in the NBA and the East. But what's going to happen when you get to the playoffs? There were a lot of games that, you know, during the streak that they should have lost that they won, but that's what streaks are. You win in some games. You win in probable. Sometimes you win in probable games like that. That's how streaks are maintained. And case in point, against the Warriors, who just missed shot after shot. We're talking about they had wide open shots that just wouldn't fall. And I think they took their foot off the gas. Now I'm going to give the Celtics some credit. They played some fairly defensive stretches, but that game was all Jaylen Brown, and Kyrie got all the credit because he hit some free throws in the fourth quarter. Jaylen Brown got them back in that game. And that's why when I said in the opening that Jaylen Brown is going to be a star, and I was iffy on him because he was so raw and unpolished coming out of Cal that we just didn't know what he was. But he has the mindset, that mentality, that go-getter. Like, he thinks he's a superstar right now. And because of that, I think he's going to become even better. And I think in a year or two, he and Kyrie are going to be a force with Brad Stevens coaching. And then you throw in Gordon Hayward. I mean, they're great. They're in a great position. So for me, when I look at the streak, yeah, the streak is great. The Rockets won 22 before and what happened to them? So the Celtics are winning 116 in a row. Yeah, it's cute. But what's going to happen when you get to the playoffs and you got to see that man over there in Cleveland? You already know what's going to happen. So anyway, this is entertaining. It gives everybody something to talk about. But I'm not a believer. It doesn't do anything for me. And I'll be glad when the streak is over because I'm tired of it. And I don't want to be a hater, man. I like Kyrie. But y'all jumping on Kyrie bandwagon and jumping on the Celtics bandwagon is starting to get on my damn nerves. So I need y'all to chill out. This streak is overrated.
You heard it first. You heard it first. what about you, B? Celtics, man, like I said, they're on a roll, man. Why do you think this team has been so successful?
Completely agree with Ken with Brad Stevens. I think Coach I was one of those folks that was high on Brad Stevens coming in, but not to the extent that Ken was mentioning, like the pop and the feels. I didn't put him up there, but I was happy, you know, the success he had at Butler and then coming to the league. And then, you know, first couple of seasons, I was like, you know what? I think that Brad Stevens can be like the wave of the next, you know, the next up and coming great coaches that we see in the next, you know, decade or two decades if he coached that long. You know, coaches coach for a long time. So, you know, I'm thinking maybe 20 years from now, we probably can put him in the Greg Popenfield conversation. But, like, I mean, I wasn't doing that right away. I mean, I always like to, I'm always the show and prove type of person. You got to show me what you can do. But, yeah, I think coaching, and just like Ken said, you know, it's like people getting excited over this win streak. It's freaking November. You know, stuff going to start coming into reality, you know, once we get towards the, you know, the All-Star weekend, after the All-Star weekend, when you start getting that March stretch, when you really know what teams are about. You know, if they still streaking and stuff, you know, around that time, say if they lose in late, you know, sometime in early December, you know, going a little streak in January, get lose again, and if they still streaking like in February going into March, you know, then we can probably be like, oh, okay, you know what, the Celtics are for real. But I'm not going to say they're for real yet. You know, it's just too early. It's just too early. But I mean, I think the streak is good because, you know, it's, I'm pretty sure the NBA likes it because, you know, they're talking, it's just bringing more attention to the NBA. Oh, the Boston Celtics, one of the most, you know, historic franchises in NBA history, starting off with a streak, you know, with the drama with, you know, Kyrie and LeBron thing in the offseason, and then, you know, Kyrie starting off streaking and LeBron and the Cavs starting off struggling. It's just something good for it's good for people to keep people talking about the NBA. You know, that's what the NBA want. So I think that's good on that part. But yeah, I just think coaching, I think Kyrie is very, very comfortable in Brad Stevens' coaching style, and it's showing, you know what I'm saying? So, and I feel like the guys have like a certain edge or a certain extra boost of motivation since Gordon Hayward went down the first game of the season. It's like they feel like they owe it to him to try to play at the best of their abilities. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think by the time this season comes down, we get to the playoffs, Celtics going to either probably be a one seed or a two seed. But for like Ken said, for LeBron, once you go up against that man, it doesn't matter. I think he's going to be ready. He's going to shut down, lock down a dark agent, Dark Zero, where he goes every time he shuts off his social media for the playoffs. So, I mean, you know, it's just good talking for the NBA. I like to see it. I'm not like Ken where I'm like a hater about it. But hey, if they win four more games and we talking about it and they beating some worthy opponents, yeah, so be it. Good for them. You know, keep it up. But I'm not like the whole, oh my God, this is it. Boston Celtics is a team. They're going to be in the finals or they're going to do this. No, until they can get past King James, because he's been leading the Eastern Conference for the last 7 going on 8 years. We're assuming that he's going to go to his finals again for this 8th straight season. LeBron has owned the East, and until someone knock him off, he's owning the East. I'm still say Cavs going to take the East, even though it's November. I'm still saying LeBron James. So there you go.
No doubt. I agree with you guys. I'm surprised that Boston has played as well as they have. And you know, much like most people, I always caution and temper my comments by saying it's early, and that, you know, I don't get too high on teams running off, you know, 10, 15 straight wins. I don't get too low on teams, you know, that struggle. We mentioned OKC, who, you know, at the time of this recording is under 500, you know, as far as the kind of ball that they're playing. I think Cleveland's right at 500. I think give these teams time to gel. And it's going to take some time. Obviously, we didn't see this coming, particularly when you look at Boston coming out in the first game of the season. 5 minutes into the game, you lose one of your key acquisitions in Gordon Hayward for the season. You know, so it looks like Kyrie is, you know, by himself. And again, it's you got a rookie in. What's the kid from Duke? Name on the tip of my tongue. Jason Tatum. Yeah, Jason Tatum. You got him, and then you got, like Kim mentioned, Jaylen Brown, who got significant minutes last year. But I mean, you can see the growth in his game from last year to this year, and the level of confidence. I got a chance to see them play against Golden State this past week, and like Ken said, I think Golden State, not to take anything away from Boston, I think Golden State took their foot off the gas. That being said, you know, Boston still, you know, they got into them defensively. And Golden State, we've seen Golden State, you know, get lackadaisical with the ball and turn the ball over. But a lot of the turnovers that happened this game were because Boston was forcing the turnovers, not necessarily just Golden State being, you know, careless with the ball. So with that being said, man, I'm very surprised. Obviously, you know, they're not going to keep this streak going, but, you know, they're off to a good start. They could position themselves where they could be a number one seed if they keep playing this way. And again, not to sound like a broken record, but we're going to say this more often than not. And it's not to be an apologist for Cleveland, but we don't know what Cleveland will be until Isaiah Thomas comes back. And if he's 100% healthy and he looks like the Isaiah Thomas that led that Boston team to the Eastern Conference Finals, and you figure that if he's going to be that player, then again, I like Cleveland in the East against anybody in a 7-game series. But Boston's been impressive, man. They've been nothing short of impressive. And like you guys said, I agree with you 110%. Brad Stevens, you know, has this team believing, and they play, you know, very good defense. And I think if you can play defense, that's a great start. You know, they're not trying to necessarily outscore. And that was kind of the thing, you know, if you watch Boston last year, you know, they would go through spells where they couldn't get a bucket, but they relied on their defense. We just didn't know how good defensively they would be in losing, you know, a guy like Avery Bradley, who was, you know, and as well as Crowder, you know, two guys who kind of anchored their defense. So, you know, to have that and still get off to a great start, I mean, hats off to him, because I think, again, Brad Stevens has done a great job, and Kyrie is playing, you know, at a very, very high level. And I definitely anticipate that he will continue to do so. But yeah, that's why they've gotten off to a great start. I think defense and great coaching. And it'll be interesting to see how they move as the season progresses. Free-Fall, what up, man?
This is what Ken does. Ken is always super dismissive. Believe in the green, Ken. Believe in the green.
God, we're not going
to
do this.
Look, I was trying to tell y'all from the beginning of the season.
Ken, mad as hell.
Yeah, because people came in right on the right time.
And look. Kyle was like, I don't know about him. With Gordon, look, man, I told y'all. Jason Tatum was ready. Jaylen Brown. I told y'all since freaking preseason, summer league, Jaylen Brown was ready to make the jump. I was telling you, he was ready to make the jump. You add Kyrie and what they was doing. Oh, my God. Yo, it's a recipe. And I don't think that they're going to make it to the finals, but I definitely think they're going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And you better believe that the streak is for real. It's not like they're beating boo-boo teams out here. Like they beat the defending champs. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. They came back. And we saw this same song
last year in Boston.
Don't matter where. You beat them. You beat them. You beat them, okay? Okay, a W is a W, and a loss is a loss, and they won. And all I'm saying is this. We saw the same thing last year. What's different? Different players, but it's the same scheme. We play defense. We move the ball. We get performances because we got guys. And it just so happens that he had a clutch point guard last year, and now he has the most clutch player in the NBA. That's the only difference. Like we saw what he did against the Hawks. He's been toying with people, man. Kyrie is out here having fun, and Brad Stevens is unleashing Kyrie, and it's only this is early season. He's not even mid-season four. Yo, I'm telling you, you gotta believe in this. This right here is for real, and it's here to stay. Of course, they're gonna come into some losses. Law of averages. I'm not saying that they're gonna go 72-10, 73-9. I'm not saying that. Nowhere near shape or form, but they're gonna get wins. And they're going to push almost 60. They're going to get 50-plus wins. Guaranteed.
But you know what, Ralph? You better
believe it's for real.
Nah. You know what? When Golden State went through this, you can look at them and say, oh, man, they got it. The Spurs, I mean, they've been doing it for so long. You just got to believe in it. But you knew that they had it. When I look at the Celtics, I just don't see it yet. And that's what I'm looking for. I just see them on a hot streak. and they're playing these middling ass teams. I don't care if they beat the Warriors, so be it. But who else are you beating? You barely beat Dallas last night, and they suck. Didn't you barely beat the Hawks? I can't remember.
Yeah, but either way, Hawks almost won.
Yeah, so come on, man. Like, show me more than that before I can leave.
I don't believe that, Ken. I'm watching these guys with my own eyes. I know what I see. I see these guys execute. I see them clamp down when they need to, and it doesn't matter who they are. You know why? Because they can switch at every position, just like Golden State on defense, because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown afford them that. And this year, like I said, they're not going to win the chip. But when they add Gordon Hayward, that's a problem. Because you know what? I'm starting off four of those guys. Kyrie, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Gordon Hayward. I'm starting off four of those guys. Why not?
While we're on the subject of the NBA, Dallas. Ken, you mentioned Dallas. I know that they're kind of retooling, if you will, but this team, are you surprised that they are as bad as they are?
Yeah, a little bit, man. Like, I thought they were winning games. I'm not paying attention to Dallas, but I just happened to look at the standings.
Well, I was looking at the box score.
Yeah, I looked at the box score. I was like, oh, my God. I didn't know they were that bad.
Yeah,
And I don't know what's going on in Dallas. I think they just – I mean, because Dirk is taking less money, so it's not like they're overcommitting to him. But I think they got a guy in Dennis Smith Jr. They have a piece in Harrison Barnes. And I think now they just got to build around him. But Dirk Nowitzki's, they're rare, man. Like, they don't come around often. So it's going to be a minute before I think they even get back on track.
What about you, B? Your thoughts on Dallas and, you know, how, I guess you could say, how fast they've fallen off.
You know, it was bound to happen, I think. You know, Dirt is old now. He's the old guy. I think he probably got like another season left in him. And I think it's just time for them to kind of like just, I ain't going to say start from scratch, but just kind of go young. I mean, you know, they got a good rookie right now. I think they can kind of start kind of getting some pieces around him, try to look for a big fella in these next upcoming drafts. Because I'm anticipating them to be a lottery team for the next couple of years. So they should try to build a draft or either free agency. Dallas is still an attractive city to come to, you know, to play for overall. So I see why not? But, yeah, it's just kind of like you're going to, no matter how long or consistent you've been, you're going to, at some point, you're going to have to be like, okay, we're going to kind of scrap it a little bit. I think they should kind of scrap this season. Not necessarily just like tank, but like, no, like, hey, okay, we're not going to make no noise out in the West with all these teams we're going to have to deal with, the Houstons and the Golden States and OKC's, like, you know, they should know. They should know, like, we should just kind of focus on probably building through the lottery and free agency and then seeing what can come up from that. You know, give Dirt his farewell, you know, his red carpet goodbye and keep it moving. But, yeah, I think it was bound to happen, man. I think we was going to see this happen eventually.
If you've been hiding under a rock, man, we all know about the arrest of LiAngelo Ball and two of his other teammates at UCLA as they were in China to play against Georgia Tech. Now they came back. Obviously, they were released. But you know, depending on who you believe, they may or may not have been helped, gotten released because of a word or two from the commander in tweet. Or it could have been, you know, Triple B's. Big Baller Brand could have gotten him out. Who at this point, we don't know who did what for whom. Nonetheless, the three young men are back in the United States and are back at UCLA. They held a press conference this past week, and all three of the young men apologized. They, you know, were thankful. They thanked the commander in tweet. And, you know, they were very, you know, very remorseful for what they did. UCLA is in somewhat of a quandary right now because they have suspended the players, quote unquote, indefinitely. Now, one thing we know about an indefinite suspension could last a couple games, could last, you know, more than a few games, could last half a season, could be a lifetime. We don't know. But there seems to be a sentiment around UCLA that there is a debate whether or not it should be half a season or a full season as to whether or not the time frame that they should miss in these games. So, FIFO, I'll start right there with you, man. How do you think this is going to play out? What do you think the suspension should be?
The suspension, oh, man, the basketball coach in me says, man, give them about 10 games and you back on the court. But obviously what they did was serious. So you want to give them a serious punishment. So I would say probably like a month or two. And, you know, just get ready for March Madness. But that's me being lenient. You know, if I was the athletic director, I don't know, man, that's tough. I think you might have to give him the whole year. And for LiAngelo, I think that might be okay for him. I think he would rather just go straight to the NBA. We don't know where he'll get drafted. Obviously, I don't think he'll be a lottery pick. But at least he'll get a shot to go to the NBA and be able to wear the big baller brand and try to make some real money. But I don't know, man. I think a year if I'm the AD, 3 months if I'm the coach.
Okay. So just even before I move forward, you think if he misses a season, let's say he's suspended for the season, you think he gets drafted?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
I think he gets drafted. If he enters the draft, and even if he goes undrafted, you know, that might be even the better route because you get to the money quicker.
Okay. So, gotcha.
You know, I think at the end of the day, let's be honest, right? It's all about getting to the money, especially when you're playing professional sports. Sign as many big contracts as you possibly can. And sometimes when you go undrafted, you just see a bigger check quicker because you're not under the rookie wage scale.
Mm-hmm.
So it might work out.
Okay. B, what about you, man? If you're a consultant, or let's say you're the AD, you're the AD at UCLA. What kind of suspension are you handing out? A couple of games, half a season, or the full season?
Probably like half the season until at least till they get the conference play. I have them sit out that long. Yeah, I was thinking a year or two just to kind of teach them a lesson. Like, you just cannot make, you know, if you give them a slap on the wrist, it's kind of like, oh, I can possibly get away with it. So if you send them a stern message like, year, you're not playing this season. I mean, I think sometimes it takes that to wake them up, you know, wake up the guys, not just ball, but just even players in general that's been used to getting everything handed to them and always getting used to saying yes. Like, this is a time where you in the real world, if you mess up, you know, you're going to have to suffer your consequences and just man up and deal with it. So that was the part of me I was thinking like, yeah, you should get a year. But I say until like conference play, which would be like January, mid-January or so. So, yeah.
Okay. What about you, Ken? You're the AD at UCLA, man. How long are you suspending these kids?
5-10 games, maybe. Yep.
You trying to win.
Yeah, I'm trying to win, man. Look, this has been extremely embarrassing for them, for their families. It's something that's going to follow them forever. They won't be able to get rid of it. They've been shamed. Like, I don't know if you guys watch Game of Thrones, but if you did, it's almost like when they made Cersei walk down, you know, the street and they throwing tomatoes at her and stuff like that. Like, that's what them coming home was like. All these cameras and stuff in your face and, you know, you're all over the news. This is being covered everywhere. So I think they've suffered an extreme public embarrassment. And after this season, who's going to remember anymore and who's going to even care? So what's done is done. They've learned their lesson. So yeah, get 5-10 games and I'll move on from there.
No doubt. This is a tough one, man. I think if I'm the AD, I'm probably pushing for half a season. I'm pushing for half a season because I think you can send the message and still, you know, get some benefit from it, from them playing. I've heard and seen people talk about they should be suspended. I mean, I've seen some people even go as far as saying that they should have been expelled. which, you know, depending on whatever the conduct code is in at that, you know, UCLA, you know, probably is on the table. Well, it's not on the table because obviously they're still in school, but I heard Steve Alford come out there, the head coach, talking about, you know, this time that their way that they can focus on their studies. Come on, Steve Alford, you really think these dudes studying? They're not studying. If they're not going to practice and they're not going to the games, they're sitting up in the room playing PS1 or PS4, whatever. They're playing video games. They're not studying, dog. It's not like that. You know that, and I know that. But if I'm the AD, I probably give them a half a year. I think that's enough. And that way, you know, the program does not shoot itself in the foot. And if you give them half a year, they're back in time for, you know, part of the conference play. And then, you know, they're in play for, you know, the NCAAs if they make the tournament. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I think people go a little bit too far because, you know, I kept hearing people talking about, well, they need to teach them a lesson. They need to teach them a lesson. And I'm like, they were in China hemmed up by the police. You don't think they learned a lesson?
Right.
You know, it's not like, I don't know how many more messages you feel like you have to send. I think the minute that, you know, the Chinese popo showed up at the hotel 30 deep, you know, talking to him, you know, I mean, one thing I've never been arrested or anything like that, but you don't ever want to be, you know, I guess questioned by police, and you damn sure don't want to be questioned by police in a foreign country, you know, when you don't launch, because you don't know how that's going to roll. So, you know, I think Ball and these other two kids, I think they've learned their lesson. I think, you know, there's no need for UCLA to shoot themselves in the foot. But I also know that given the high stakes, if you will, from this, you know, that they're going to be, nobody's going to be happy with it, you know, because, you know, as I mentioned, the commander in tweet has already sounded off on it. LeVar is sounding off. And that's another thing, too. Do you want to run the risk of pissing off LeVar? I think that could come into play as well. You know, they may not talk about it, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you don't want to piss off LeVar with this, you know, because, you know, for all intents and purposes, LeVar has another child that's coming there, or at least we will assume that he's coming there. So so we'll see, man. But it definitely made headlines. And, you know, obviously LeVar and his war of words, so, if you will. What's up?
Let me ask you, would you wash your hands of the Ball family? Like, would you use this as your out?
That's a good question, FIFO. I don't think so, man, because I think, you know, here's the thing. LeVar became LeVar over this. I mean, like, I'll be honest. A year ago, I didn't know who LeVar Ball was. I didn't find out about who LeVar Ball was until, like, the start of this year. And that was when he was doing these interviews. So you're right, people. If let's say they suspend him, or let's say LeVar's not happy with the suspension, and LeVar tells LiAngelo, hey, go pro. Whether or not he makes it or not, he tells him to go pro. And, you know, he says, okay, well, you're not going to get LaMelo. You know, it could be an opportunity to, you know, wash your hands. But I think ultimately, I think UCLA, and I will speak as if I'm a UCLA AD or coach, they want that kid. You want talent. And one thing I know about talent is that you might put up with a little bit more BS to have the talent. So they've already experienced a year of LeVar. So I think they feel like they can handle it, and they feel like they can handle him, if you will. And obviously, LiAngelo isn't as talented as Zoe. So, you know, they kind of know what they're dealing with. So at this point, I guess to answer your question, no, I probably wouldn't. They could, and UCLA would be well within their right, but I don't think I would get rid of them just to get rid of the Ball family. I don't think, because I think ultimately they want this because this kid can obviously help them win. And that's the bottom line. No, that's the bottom line. What about you? What's your take on it? Would you look at this as an opportunity to get rid of the Ball family LeVar, if you will, for once and for all?
Well, possibly, because obviously Lonzo was a pleasure to have at UCLA.
Right.
LiAngelo is not getting off to the best start. And LeVar is just LeVar, right? And then you see Melo, arguably be the most the one out the bunch. He's already out of high school with a Lamborghini. Plus, you still have LeVar. Like, I don't know. I think that you would strongly have to consider maybe pulling out of the Ball family, you know, everything that comes with that, man. It's a lot of hoopla that comes with that. And who's to say that LaMelo doesn't get into something even bigger? Like I said, man, this man is 15, 16 years old with a Lambo. Not saying that, you know, he didn't earn it and he doesn't have his own signature shoe. Do it big. But I'm just saying that breeds something. That comes with something. You know, and it doesn't make any sense for LiAngelo to be stealing anyway. So, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think I might have to wash my hands.
Okay. Hey, did you watch the LaVar Ball interview with Mo?
Chris Mo.
Yeah.
No, I didn't watch it.
Man, oh, Ralph, pure comedy.
Bruh, like I learned something about LaVar Ball watching that interview. And I gotta be honest, what he did was brilliant. He did not give that man a chance to trip him up, to ask him, to set him up with any of the, you know how they do with these trick questions or anything like that. He controlled the whole interview, as ridiculous and as crazy as some of the responses sounded. It was freaking amazing. 23 minutes, Ralph, he went on. And you're, I'm like, comedy. You know what? I got to start LaVar Balling things a little bit more. Just talking and just randomly saying anything that comes to mind that's just absolutely ridiculous. It's pure genius, dog.
It reminded me so much of the conversation that, remember when Bill O'Reilly had Dame Dash and Cam'ron on? Which was one of the most funniest moments on TV, I think, where Bill O'Reilly really thought it was going one way and they totally flipped the script. That's exactly what LaVar Ball did. And you know, 5 minutes into this interview, this guy is trying to get, he's trying to take it one way. And it's like I love it when he asks LaVar one question and LaVar did, not only did he not answer the question, but LaVar asked him three questions. And so now he's answering the questions from LaVar. And LaVar had, like Ken said, totally took control of the interview. If you have not watched that interview, man, do yourself a favor. I got a huge chuckle out of it watching it, man. It was great.
Like LaVar Ball would turn around and ask him the same question that he was just asked. Like, it's just, it was just, exactly. It was just crazy. So are you saying the president didn't get your son out? Well, you tell me. Did he get him out? I don't know. You tell me. You seem to know more than I do. You tell me didn't get him out, huh? Because I don't know what he did, but I know what I did. And after a while, man, after about 8 to 10 minutes, Chris Mo, he just gave up. He just started trolling LaVar, too. He just joined right in with the party. Man, dude, you got to watch it.
You know what? The funniest part for me was when he said, you probably should say thank you when people do things for you. He said, hey, did you go back to the doctor who delivered you and tell him thank you?
See, you probably should, because you a lucky guy.
Oh, man. Funny. Yeah, man. So for those of you listening, if you haven't gotten a chance, man, go check that out.
Yo, did you guys see the news about Michael Porter Jr.? Isn't that your boy, Ralph?
Yeah. I saw that.
B?
Ralph.
What about you, B? Michael Porter Jr.
What happened with Michael Porter?
Spinal surgery, man. He's out. He's out for the year.
Yeah, he's going to be out for the year. Three to four months.
What surgery?
His back surgery. Up, dog.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. Yeah, look that up, man. Because I'm curious to know how that's going to impact his future career in the pros. And let me ask you this. So now that he's been in college for a year, he can't play.
Cool.
Does that still make him eligible to come out?
Yeah.
No. He's a freshman this year. He hasn't played yet. So if he's out the entire year, it's just like Kyrie. Kyrie went after he was injured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're. It doesn't matter if you get injured. It's your eligibility is based on you have to be 1 year removed from your graduating class, graduating high school class.
Yep.
So regardless of whether or not he played 30 minutes or 300 minutes, he will be eligible. And it's kind of interesting, Ken, because he will be eligible if should he decide to make himself eligible for the draft. He was already going to be a lottery pick, but his body, I'm guessing based on this timetable, should be ready, you know, around the draft time. But, you know, will he be able to work out? You know, will he be able to work out for the scouts? And will, I mean, obviously some team is probably going to roll the dice on him if he decides to come out. So, yeah, it's going to be crazy. So, yeah, big, big blow for Missouri and Michael Porter Jr. going forward.
Yeah, I was looking forward to watching
him. Yeah, me too. Me too. Before we get out of here, man, we always do this. One got to go. Obviously, the way this is set up is game played on the internet. Make sure that you check out at One Got to Go from Eclectic on Twitter at One, the number one Got to Go. Real simple game, you know, give you four choices. You pick one and that one must leave the premises forever. Got a couple here. Let's see. We got two NBA and two hip hop. So let's start with the NBA. One gotta go. B, I'll start first with you. Ben Simmons, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo. One gotta go.
Wow. I guess I got to go with the bra, man. He got to go.
Wow. Wow. No surprise.
Yeah, no, I surprised myself.
Why?
I guess I'm looking at it as the upside. That's all. I mean, yeah, Anthony Davis is definitely more proven than Joel Embiid. If I had to pick a second choice, I would say Joel. You know what? I'm going to go with Joel. That's right, because he hasn't played a full season yet.
Oh my
God. So I'm
gonna
go with Joel.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with MD. Yeah.
Don't let Ken make you change your
pick. No. I mean, I just thought about that. Yeah. I mean, at least we got full seasons from Anthony Davis in the playoff appearance. But Joel got to show me more. He got to play a whole season for me.
Oh my God, you tripping?
FIFO, one got to go.
Oh, you ain't got to name him again.
Okay.
Anthony Davis, get out of here. What the hell's wrong with you, man? Don't let Ken change your damn mind.
No, Joel got to show me a season.
Look. He ain't got to show you no damn season. That man played 30 games and got $150 million.
Okay, so FIFO, what if Joel get injured in Christmas and out for the remainder of the year?
I don't think he's going to get injured no more.
It's not what if.
41 games, $150 million. You go with what your eyes tell you. Joel Embiid's the guy. This man is a
kid with a 3-point shot. He got to play a full season.
I'm good. I'll take him over Anthony Davis any day.
You got to play a full season, man.
That's cool. Anthony Davis was injury prone too at the beginning. I'm cool. I'll take Joel
Embiid. At least he played in the playoffs and he played a full season.
That's cool.
This dude been in the league for 4 years, only played 40 some games.
That's cool. Still got $150 million. I'll take Joel Embiid.
He got to show me something, man.
We treat this like a dead end hip hop video shoot, man. Hey, once you make your answer, you ain't got to defend it.
Yes, he does.
So who you got then, Ken?
You already know. Greek Freak, bye. Bounce him up out of there.
Oh,
man.
My God.
Get him up out of there.
Get up out of here, man. Cut his mic, man.
Why are you picking Greek Freak?
Ken is the only person picking Freak.
Because why? Well,
hey, look, because I've seen Anthony Davis. Like, Anthony Davis, as much flack as I gave him, like, that dude is a legit baller. Like,
yeah,
if I had to rank these guys, it would be a toss up between AD and Embiid. I might go with Embiid, AD, Simmons, then Greek Freak. That might be the ranking.
No way I'm putting Greek Freak last. No way.
Oh, yeah. I can get rid of him. He's relying solely on his athleticism. Anthony Davis can take you out the paint. He can take you off the dribble. He can shoot from all over the court. He's still working on that three-point shot.
Greek Freak can do that, too. And Greek Freak is committed on the defensive end of the ball.
Yeah, but Anthony Davis.
He's pretty much Kevin Durant without the three, but can also commit on the defensive end.
He can't shoot yet. He can't shoot.
I said without the three. Without the three.
You said three-pointer. He still can't. He don't have a mid-range shot. Not like that.
he got like a 10-11-foot mid-range shot.
He got a nice little post-up. Man, Anthony Davis.
He got mid-range.
Thank you. He got a little mid-range.
Don't be disrespectful now.
Right. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just trying
to being disrespectful.
Keep y'all in line.
Y'all know Ken don't like Milwaukee, man.
At least I got some Milwaukee prejudice. MD, but I mean, Greek Freak, come on, Ken. That's just ridiculous.
That is not ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Picking Embiid is ridiculous. Like, how in the hell are you going to get rid of him?
You got to show me something.
I don't know what the hell. You must be blind, Stevie.
I gotta agree with FIFO, man. I'm getting rid of Anthony Davis, man.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know what? To be funny, I mean, to be honest, you know, Anthony Davis has missed. Now, he hasn't missed as many games as Embiid, but he's missed quite a few games, you know, himself, you know, due to injury. But, yeah, man.
He played in the playoffs, though. At least he played a couple of full seasons.
Yeah, I'm definitely not touching Greek Freak. Greek Freak is definitely untouchable. You know, Greek Freak and Simmons, you know, are damn near untouchable.
You're disrespecting Greek Freak, man.
Yeah, I don't know what Ken.
You got Kevin Durant scared of him. come on, dude.
Yeah, Ken tripping. Let's do another basketball one. All right, I'm gonna give you guys. So grab a pencil real quick or something, or take mental notes because this. I'm gonna list some teams, and you're gonna have to figure out which team. Well, you know what? Let's do it like this. Which team wins? We're not even gonna say one got to go. We'll just say which team wins. All right. So check this out. Team A. You got Magic at the point, Russell Westbrook at the two, Kawhi Leonard at the three, Kevin Garnett at the four, and Shaq at the five. That's Team A. Team B, LeBron at the point, Allen Iverson at the two, James Harden at the three, Tim Duncan at the four, Hakeem Olajuwon at the five. That's Team B. Team C, Isaiah Thomas at the point, Kobe Bryant at the two, Kevin Garnett at the three, Karl Malone at the four, David Robinson at the five. And last but not least, Team D, Steph Curry at the point, Michael Jordan at the two, Carmelo Anthony at the three, Charles Barkley at the four, Patrick Ewing at the five. All right, so now you got that. I can run them back if you need to. So you got Team A, Team B, Team C, Team D. Who wins any game? Ken, I'll start first with you.
The team that got a king, Team B. I mean, that's what y'all gonna do with that? What y'all gonna do with him? LeBron at the one. AI at the two?
Yeah, you got LeBron playing one, AI at the two, Harden at the three.
Y'all got a problem, man. I think it might be easy too. It might be quick work.
Duncan at the four and Hakeem in the post.
Come on, man. What you gonna do, Duncan and Hakeem and LeBron to orchestrate it all? And man, and the only weak link is Harden.
And he'll put up some points for you, though. All right, B, I'm going to throw it to you, man. Team A, Team B, Team C, or Team D, who wins? And let me know if I need to read them back.
Go ahead, B.
I remember Team B and D because that's the one I'm picking between. But give me A again. Give me A and C.
A is Magic at the point, Westbrook at the two, Kawhi at the three, Kevin Garnett at the four, and Shaq at the five.
That's A?
That's A.
Ooh, what's C?
And C is Isaiah at the point, Kobe at the two, Kevin Garnett at the three, Karl Malone at the four, David Robinson at the five.
Damn, I would almost say D if it weren't for the center. I forgot about A. That's kind of tough right there. You said who was the four and five for A? It was Shaq and who the four?
Shaq and the four is Kevin Garnett.
You just put Kevin Garnett on two teams?
No. I said Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's on team C.
Oh man, I might have to go with that A squad because I'm looking at the pieces together like Magic, Westbrook. You know Magic gonna distribute the hell out that damn ball. Westbrook a killer. You got Shaq down there.
Kawhi at the three.
And you got somebody that's gonna lock up. I might have to go Kevin with A, Garnett. Man.
Okay.
I was that's looking at B or D, but I might have to go with A, man. Oh my god. Ooh.
Man, I smashed that squad.
FIFA, what about you?
You know, I was.
He gonna go with LeBron, whatever squad LeBron.
Not even. I was thinking about the D squad because you know Steph Curry with the shot for 40. You know, don't even matter. Then you got MJ, right? So how you stop that? Then you got Carmelo, which is another scoring machine. Then you got Barkley, which is a give me the rebound. He's an early Draymond, and then you know Patrick Ewing can hold his own. Like, yeah, I ain't really Patrick too worried.
You know I was looking saying? At like, D. The that's D, one. Right? That's D.
Yeah, that's D.
Yeah.
So with A, you got Magic Westbrook. Who's at the three?
Kawhi.
Leonard.
Kawhi. The and then you got Shaq and KG.
Come on, dude. I'm going and, with A. Dog.
And then who's on Team C?
Team C is Isaiah at the point, Kobe. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant.
No, I don't even need the rest.
Okay.
What's B?
You want B?
Yeah, B.
B is LeBron at the point, AI at the two, Harden at the three, the four and the five are Duncan.
Nah, give me, it's either A or D, but I'm going to go with A.
Okay. Hey, thank you, people. Thank you.
It's either A or D, but I'm going with A.
Hey, well, you know what?
Because A fit like a glove, man. Yeah, like, do. A fits like a glove. Yeah, like, when you look at all the pieces. Yep, A fits better. Like A fits better.
I hate to do it because we never do it. But I'm agreeing with Kenneth.
Damn
Team
right.
B. Team B washes them.
They, nah, y'all tripping.
LeBron
washes them?
Nah,
LeBron? Bubba
can't
Chuck?
Can't nobody do that with Magic. Can't nobody do it? It don't matter what you do.
LeBron would stop Magic.
Your point guard.
LeBron would stop Magic.
No. Look, I'm going to tell you like this, and this is the reason why you can't stop him. And I preach it to this day. There's nothing you can do to stop somebody from making a pass that you don't even know is happening.
Exactly.
Well, how do you stop that?
You LeBron how can you do it.
LeBron could.
LeBron's IQ. Look, Raph. Hold on. Time out. LeBron's IQ is everybody knows about his basketball IQ. He can
Ain't
see that.
Had no IQ like Magic.
LeBron is.
I think
is
he's up there with
Magic.
I think he can LeBron see the plays that Magic can see, dog.
But here's and Ken made a great point. Here's where Team B I think wins. Duncan and Olajuwon. You're not gonna stop him. Duncan against KG in the post.
We talking prime versions of everybody.
Yeah, we talking prime versions. So I'm taking Duncan
that could run and jump.
I'm taking Duncan over KG and Olajuwon over Shaq. I've seen that play out before.
But with Magic, I'll take it. With Magic, I'll take it though.
Okay.
With Magic, I'll take it.
Man, that's a good one. I gotta shout out to my man Eclectic for putting this on one guy.
Westbrook's gonna be catching all types of points from Magic.
Yep.
Jesus Christ. That's crazy.
Hey,
he won't give it back either.
Like,
and then you got Kawhi Leonard locking up. You know how LeBron is against Kawhi.
And he got to deal
with James Harden though, dog.
Right.
He's not gonna guard.
What? He locked up James Harden plenty of times. Jimmy Butler locked up James Harden.
He won't guard LeBron. So
again, it goes back to Olajuwon. I keep saying it goes back to Olajuwon. There's nothing you could do with him. Nothing
you could do with Shaq.
You're right. Come on. I give you Olajuwon, but guess what? Shaq don't get his too.
We saw a young Shaq get destroyed by Olajuwon.
That's cool. I got Magic. Magic is the difference on the squad, man. Because you don't know what's going. You don't even need the coach. You just give Magic the ball and say, "Move the hell out of the way." Magic got the whole thing. Magic gonna take you home, and he clutch. I'm taking Magic all day.
Okay. All right. Let's one gotta go. Let's take it to hip hop, man. Since we know a little bit about hip hop over here, albums. B, I'll start with you. Lil Wayne, Carter IV. The Game, the Red Album. J. Cole, 2014 Forest Hills Drive. And Kendrick Lamar, Section 80. One gotta go.
That's easy.
Carter IV. That wasn't a good Carter.
What about you, FIFO? Which one gotta go?
It's either Carter or
the yeah, I know either. Now you gotta pick one.
I'm gonna agree with B on this one. I'm gonna agree with B, the Carter. Red Ken, Album got some joints on there.
Ken, what about you?
So when you started out, I thought it was a list of bad albums. so Carter IV.
Yeah, I gotta get rid of Carter. It's funny, when I saw it, I was like, nah, Carter IV wasn't the way. Carter III was my joint. Carter IV was it was okay, but that Red Album was cold. I like Forest Hill. Section 80 is probably of the four mentioned. I think Section 80 is my favorite of the four that's mentioned. So yeah, I'll do that one. Last one. Let's go. I'll start with Kim. Hip hop producers. And we're judging them strictly on their discography, just hip hop producers. Kanye, Timberland, Just Blaze, Swiss Beats. One gotta go.
That's easy.
Timberland.
That's easy. Oh, you hey. Get him off the call. You're being disrespectful.
No way. Timberland has a sound that reminds me of the 90s.
Exactly. Now, I said discography now, or discography and your preference, you know. So you get rid of Timbo. Okay. What about you, FIFO?
Man, get Swiss Beats the hell up out of there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what?
Get Swiss out of there. I'm sorry.
Are you serious?
Get him out. Because it ain't just Blaze.
Quietly, Swiss might have the most hits on this of these four.
Yeah.
Get him out of here.
What about you, B?
Yeah, he's the beat maker.
I'm gonna go with Swiss.
Y'all true.
I mean, Timberland had Aaliyah, Missy. I mean, they had like a little run, man. Like Timberland had like a great. He was tapping R&B and hip hop.
So what's Swiss? He was
tapping into all that, man. So I gotta give it to Swiss. Swiss. Rough Rider days was great.
I'm not touching Swiss.
Even though I didn't mess with DMX like that, Swiss. Yeah.
I'm not touching Swiss.
Swiss had, he's been like bad like recently, I guess. Like if you just
But look at this. His discography is crazy.
What else's discography?
I mean, all the Rough Rider joints he's got, right? R&B joints. I mean, like Swiss, like Ken said, he damn near had the 90s on lock, especially the late 90s. Late 90s, early 2000s? Sheesh.
I mean, yeah, he had a lot, but a lot of them beats wasn't really good. I mean, he was all over the place, but, I mean, not necessarily mean that the beats were good or enjoyable.
I love it, B. Oh, I love Jesus Swiss. Christ. I love Swiss. Oh, man, I hate to do this, man. You know, to be honest, man, Kanye almost got up out of here for me.
Me too.
But Kanye's early stuff, I love. This shit he doing now, I can't mess with it. Let's go, I'm going to have to get Timbaland out of here.
Let's go, Kyle.
Oh, get that. Hey.
And I love Timbaland.
It's officially over. Everybody have a good night.
And I love Timbo, man.
Disrespectful, man.
I'm only giving Kanye a pass because of the early 90s and the Rockefeller days. This last, right after that, what was that? The last Twisted Dark Fantasy album after that. I should get rid of Kanye just on the strength of that 808 crap. But that's another story another day. Oh my gosh. I can't begin to tell y'all how disappointed I was in that damn album. Yeah, man. I'm gonna let Kanye slide, but yeah, I hate to do it, man. I love Timbaland. Love Timbaland. Nevertheless, it's about time for us to get up out of here. Time for our closing thoughts. FIFO, you're up first. What's your closing thought?
Kyrie, thank you for making the East great again. It's because of you. You have single-handedly brought back the Boston Celtics, you and Brad Stevens. It's because of you that the playoffs are going to have extra spice to them. It's because of you, Uncle Drew, that you have a movie coming out. And I also predicted my Dark Horse MVP was going to be you. So thank you, Kyrie, prematurely, because I know you're going to come through in the clutch.
True indeed, true indeed. What about you, B? Your final thought.
Yeah, even though, I wasn't born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia, yesterday, the November 20th, the Georgia Dome, it was an implosion of the Georgia Dome. People had to say their final goodbyes. People was going to check it out and see it. And, of course, they did a history of the Georgia Dome. And, I didn't realize that building had a lot of history, going over the events, the 1996 Olympics and stuff, and, all the crazy Michael Vick games and all the type of, the battle of the bands and stuff that was going on in Georgia Dome, all the SEC championship games and stuff like that, Chick-fil-A games. I mean, it's just a lot of stuff in the Georgia Dome. So, I know it's bittersweet for a lot of the homegrown Atlanta folks and stuff. So I just wanted to speak on the Georgia Dome. Just, 25 years it's been
up. Man.
92, I think November 92 is when it had its debut and got implosion this past Monday, November 20th, 2017. So, all the folks that experienced good times at Georgia Dome, I went to Georgia Dome twice. I remember before I moved down here when I used to visit my mother, I went to a Lions and Falcons game. It just so happened the week I was visiting, Lions and Falcons was playing at the Dome, so I went to that game. And I think I went to a concert there too as well. I can't remember what concert, but yeah, goodbye Georgia Dome. I get new memories for the Mercedes Benz.
No doubt, man. I played in that stadium 8 times. And as I mentioned, we won our Black College National Championship game in that building. So great memories for me, man. I'm definitely going to miss the Dome. Ken, what's your final thought?
Lonzo Ball. Bruh. Hey, man. I think there's only one way to put it, man. You ride for your niggas, dog. And for you to walk away when your teammates are getting into a scuffle on the court says a lot about what we perceive you to be. Your lack of aggression, your heart. Yeah, everybody can look at it and say, oh, man, he did the right thing, walking away, not getting in trouble, this, that, and the other. Nah, man. I know Luke Walton said the locker room loves him, but if I'm going to court battle with somebody every day, I want to know that they got my back. And for you to look back at it, turn around and walk off the court, come on, man. we talk about your lack of aggression, when you're playing, and we know that you definitely has talent. But I think we definitely see that there's some softness there, and we don't want to think you like that, bro. So yeah, man, don't do that again. Don't have your teammates have to talk to you about something like that, because that's what I saw. They had to have a conversation about you leaving them hanging. So damn, man, damn, it was all good just a week ago.
Oh man, that's funny. My final thought, man, somewhat of a sad note for me. As many of you know, I am a product of HBCU, more importantly, a member of the Mideastern Athletic Conference. My school is South Carolina State. That's where I graduated from. That's where I played college football. this past week, Hampton University in the MEAC announced that the school would be leaving the MEAC to join the Big South Conference in 2018. This statement was made by Hampton University President William Harvey. Now, President Harvey said that, you know, they had been making this, or at least mulling this decision to leave the MEAC over the past few years. They've been in the MEAC since 1995. Hampton will become the second historically black college at the Division I level, not competing in a historically black league. Tennessee State is the other. They compete in the Ohio Conference, the Ohio Valley Conference. I'm sorry. So Hampton going to the Big South, they will now have, the conference will now have four members from the state of Virginia, being Hampton, Liberty, Longwood, and Radford. Let's see, some from South Carolina, Charleston Southern, Presbyterian College, UC Upstate, Winthrop, and North Carolina, Campbell, Gardner-Webb, High Point, and the University of North Carolina at Asheville. So they're moving up and they get a chance to, you know, play against, you know, predominantly white schools. You know, and there's been some talk that, you know, maybe, you know, some HBCU should follow suit because, you know, when it comes time to, you know, qualify for the NCAA tournament in basketball, HBCUs normally are low, you know, lower seeds, meaning the MEAC and the SWAC, the Southwestern Athletic Conference. You all know in football, they compete in the Celebration Bowl. But, you know, President Harvey basically came out and said, you know, like they've been wanting to do this for a while and he figures that it's a good move. He said that, you know, it's not about black or white, but he just feels like with them going to the Big South that they have a chance to compete and it'll be diversity and it'll be a look, different look for alumni and fans. And he said, quote, there's a risk to everything. This is not a risk, but it's a gamble. Close quote. I have mixed emotions about this. Again, being a member of the MEAC, being an HBCU alum, I think this is, it's a move and it's a bold move, but it's a risky move at best. My concern is that for the players that go to Hampton, the kids that will go to Hampton when they're playing against these schools from the Big South, you know, what happens to the rivalries? What happens to the games where Hampton plays Howard or Hampton plays against Norfolk State or Virginia State for that matter? One thing I know is that, yeah, it's a different level of competition, but at the same time, it's been a while since Hampton's been good in the MEAC. So moving to the Big South doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be good at that level, too. So I understand why it's happening. Not necessarily happy that it's happening, but I want to wish Hampton the best. I will miss beating them in the MEAC as we've done over the past few years. We suck this year in football, but we managed to beat Hampton. So happy trails. That's going to do it for us, man. So for Ken, for B, for FIFO, I'm your host, 12 Kyle. We'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Stop killing Aretha Franklin.
Stop it. They killed Aretha?
Bruh. They killed Aretha, dog. I woke up this morning and saw her trending. I was like, "Oh Lord, no, Jesus!" Yep,
they got her confused with Della Reese.
Hey, did you peep though that Mark? You peep Mark Arum quoted Della Reese this yesterday morning?
No, I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
He was like, "Oh no, you're gonna shoot me in my pinky toe." Dying.